And right now we're going to the phones, where we're joined by John Ratazic. He is the author of the book 19th Century Influences on 21st Century Christianity. And joining us this morning, John, welcome to the Wake Up Call Morning Show.
Well, thank you for having me this morning.
It's good to have you with us. And first of all, where are you located?
In Toledo.
All right. So we got a local author. We always like to get our local authors on. I'm reminded of Ecclesiastes, which says there's nothing new under the sun, and which I think is actually a help to the church to know that, you know what, we've been through times like this before, and then to see how the church has responded, both good and bad, and how we can learn from that. So what inspired you to go back to the 19th century, look at what was happening there, and compare that to what's going on today?
Well, there were a lot of things going on, both good and bad, just like there are today. You had the issue of slavery. You had theological issues about the Bible. You also had good things happening. Missions were becoming a major thing. There were great evangelists. And so it's just an interesting time. If we understand what happened back then, I think we can handle things better today.
In your book, do you look at certain subjects compared to today?
I deal with the missionaries, the evangelists, the pastors, the theological trends, the scholarly works, the issue of evolution. It's a survey book of all the major things that happened back then that are still having impact today.
So what are some of the themes that you saw happening in the 19th century that you think are really vital for us to look at today and the challenges facing the church today?
I go back even further, and I have a little way of saying things. I believe in the history of the church, it's faced three major issues. In the very earliest days of the church, the question was, what think you of Christ? Is he really the Son of God, or is he just a great religious leader that's gone? Of course, the answer is he really is God.
Mm-hmm.
After the fall of the Roman Empire, the question was, what think you regarding salvation? Is it something that the church confers, or is it something that happens when we place our faith in Christ alone, in his death on the cross and the shedding of his blood? Obviously, it's not conferred by the church. It's by faith in Christ. But since the Reformation, the question has been, what think you of the Bible? There's always been attacks on the Bible,
mm-hmm.
but they really ramped in the 19th century. I deal with what's called neo-Orthodox theology that almost nobody in our church has ever heard of, and also the documentary hypothesis. I think neo-Orthodox theology has had a devastating impact on the church, and people don't even realize it. So neo-Orthodox theology basically says the Bible is inspired if it inspires me, rather than it's the Word of God, whether I understand it or get anything out of it or not. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God anyhow. He's not going to understand it until the Holy Spirit reveals it to him. But that doesn't change the fact that the Bible is the Word of God, inspired, inerrant, and authoritative. But what has happened is, in Bible translations, it's had a major effect. We want things that are so simple. And I think we're living in a day and age where we want things to be so simple and subjective rather than objectively going to what Scripture has to say and saying, this is the way I need to live. Christianity should not be so difficult. It really shouldn't. We should believe that prayer is important, that winning the lost is important, that discipling believers is important. It's showing love toward all people is important, and living a godly life. But we'd rather go to church and be entertained. We want to be comfortable. We don't mind pop psychology, but we don't want to study the Word. Biblical ignorance has gone way down. I remember when I was a graduate assistant at Bob Jones University, for 5 years we gave tests to incoming freshmen to see how much Bible they knew. And every year, it went down a little bit. I think it's gotten a lot worse since then.
Mm.
And even though nobody ever heard of neo-Orthodox theology, I think it's been a major factor in causing that to happen.
And what are you seeing today as related to that? Is some of the leading thoughts on the word?
Again, I think we're looking for everything but the Bible. We want entertainment. We want theology that doesn't even know how to dig into the Bible. Greek and Hebrew are not known or taught very well. We're giving opinions. And so in that area, I'm frustrated. But I will say this. When I get a chance to speak, I'm a chaplain here at Toledo Gospel Rescue Mission. And when I speak in churches or do Bible studies, the scriptures tell us that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I don't think we're quite there yet. People do want to learn sound doctrine, but they're not getting much sound doctrine. Again, it's all this pop psychology and illustrations and jokes and things that aren't really teaching. I mean, they jump around all the whole Bible, but nobody ever learns anything. I think what's happening is because they're not getting sound doctrine, there isn't a major overhaul in the next 10 to 20 years, I'm afraid, will be where they will not endure sound doctrine. That's a great concern. So my book ministry is dedicated toward a revival of evangelism, soul winning, and a revival of biblical thinking. And I don't make one more important than the other. I think they're both crucial.
You know, some have called this kind of modern faith moral therapeutic deism, you know, where we just want to be told how to live a good life, be happy, and have God as our friend, and that's it. And not having that life-altering, heart-changing relationship with Jesus Christ where he becomes Lord and Master and we devoted his servants to follow him. And there's just not a lot there. It's thin. Moral therapeutic deism, it's just thin. Why should people do that? Why should I get up early on a Sunday morning and go to church when I'm not going to hear anything there that's anything different than what I'm hearing in the world? But they will. I think you're right. They will come if we give them something different.
I agree. People do want to learn, but they're good people. But they think that what they're getting is all that there is of Christianity. That little bit of illustrations and jokes and pop psychology and, you know, God has a wonderful plan for your life and all that sort of thing. There's little tiny elements of truth in these things, but there's not much substance. And, you know, when a person gets saved, they're a babe in Christ. Seems like if they make some kind of a profession of faith and we get them down the aisle and then maybe get them to join the church and get baptized, we feel like we've, you know, whew, that's it. I'm done. That's almost the way that, well, we got to offer some kind of program, so we'll do something, but basically we're done. They're babes in Christ. They need to be discipled. Jesus spent 3.5 years, day and night, night and day, doing everything he could to train those disciples. And I think that's so necessary today.
And John, what have you seen in past centuries that we can learn from to help turn this situation around?
Well, I presented a pretty dire case, but you know what? You look at the history of Israel, and you look at what's happening in some other parts of the world. There's a tremendous revival taking place in China today. I'm hearing great reports about what's happening in the Middle East through Christian radio. I'm hearing that there are people who, especially women, are realizing the God of Muslimism is very hateful, but Jesus is very loving and saving. And revival's breaking out in some ways in the Middle East. We don't hear about that much.
Yeah.
But they're suffering for their faith. And so, and I look at Old Testament history. Israel was so up and down and in and out. They'd get way away from God, and then God would send a prophet or a judge, and a revival would break out for 30 or 40 years. So I'm not saying that it's hopeless. I'm saying what we need is for God's people to pray for leadership that will be real leadership. And if God answers that prayer, we're not going to fall into that time when we won't endure sound doctrine. I think people do want it, but we're not getting it. And so we need to pray for that and look at how God did, even when it looked hopeless. I mean, we think of China as being so hopeless. As far as politics goes, it's horrible. as far as what's happening spiritually, it's amazing. And so that's, I think, an encouragement that if God so wills, revival could come. And that's what I pray for every day.
We're talking with John Ratazic. He is the author of the book 19th Century Influences on 21st Century Christianity. John, if folks want to get a hold of this book, how can they do so?
Eleutherosbooks.com. That's www.eleutherosbooks.com. It's also available on Amazon in paperback and ebook.
And everything you have is up there at that website?
I've written 6 books altogether. A book on salvation, a book on Bible translations, a book, a commentary on 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, a book on Jesus, a book on the resurrection of our Lord, and now 19th century influences on 21st century Christianity. They're all available in ebook, and all but the one on the resurrection are available in paperback.
And the website again?
www.eleutherosbooks.com. That's Eleutheros, and that's the Greek adjective for free, and the theme verse is John 8:36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
And if you missed that website, didn't get a chance to write all that down, just contact us here at the studio. We'd love to pass that on to you.
Hey, John, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you, and God bless your ministry.
That is John Ratazic. He is the author of, once again, 19th Century Influences on 21st Century Christianity.